Hi, Paul. In sports, gutsy win probably gets overused a little bit as a cliche, but given what your team has gone through, 25% of your forwards from game one are injured and out. Obviously, the two-goal lead that gets erased. I mean, where would this win rank in terms of gutsiness for some of what you've seen from your team over the years?
Yeah, it's a real good question because we were just talking about that in the coach's room. Those kind of backs against the wall games don't happen very often. So, you know, right up there near the top, maybe into the playoffs with the loss that we took and the players that were out. But it ties more, Mike, into the year that we've had. I mean, we've just been in this situation so many times. So it's going to be top five for me. I felt anyway that tension coming to the rink that, you know, those are key players, and Mark Scheifele alone is just so important to all the things that we do in our game. And it's more difficult when you block it into the fact that, you know, we'd gone through the year that we had, and then we have this kind of honeymoon period of a 3-week training camp where everybody's healthy, we're excited. We've never really seen it all year. And then he goes in the first 5 minutes of the game. That could have been a real devastating event. But we've got, you know, one of the best leaders in the game on our team, and one of the best leaders that people that I've ever worked with. Not only does he captain our hockey team, but he also works the coach pretty good now too. So he knows when I've had too much coffee and when I haven't, and so it was a special time for our team to rally, and I'm proud that we won the game in the manner that we did with the injuries that we had, because it will give the people that are not familiar to our season a little glimpse on what we've been doing all year.
Our next question comes from Ted Wyman, Post Media.
Hi, Paul. Nikolaj Ehlers has been asked about it for a long time, about not having scored in the playoffs. He has the giveaway in the second period, the penalty in the third. It's just not looking very good for him. And then he has this winning goal that means so much. Just how much did it mean to the team and to him to get that done?
All part of Nicky's journey. You know, he's here to make plays and to be a game breaker in a lot of ways, and it hasn't happened for him in the playoffs. The penalty, the giveaway, you're frustrated with. The penalty, I can understand, just so I'm clear on this, not the call, the fact, the event. But, man, he needed that, right? Like, you need to feel a part of it. You need to feel that you're part of the cause. So, and he has been. I mean, he's played some good hockey for us, but better that than a goal and a – you know, in a 4-1 loss, you know, if you're going to get one, he needs the game winner in a game that we're up against it. And so he gets to carry that with him. And I think we'll see, you know, maybe what we see from Nicky at times in the regular season, we get an opportunity now to see that in the playoffs. So I'm happy for us first, but I'm happy for him.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Thomas Drance, The Athletic.
Paul, excuse me. I've got to follow up on that question because I'm curious about the journey you were talking about in terms of Nicky. Do you take anything from it that the goal he ends up finally scoring to break the playoff drought is that variety of goal with a defender draped all over him taking a cross check? And additionally, when you say you understood the penalty, not the call, but the penalty, can you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by understanding where he was coming from? I guess to thread this all together, does the journey include learning how to play that game within a game on this type of stage in this type of playoff environment?
I mean, absolutely. At the young age, the journey is a major part of the difference between playoff hockey and regular season hockey. It's almost two different sports. So, And then maybe to fail, you know, to say that you failed on that stage as a goal scorer, not to have produced in years past, to come up with a big one. That's part of it, to understand that you just need to stay in the game. It doesn't matter what happened in the first. It doesn't matter what happened in the second or first or second year, for that matter. You need to make one play at the time that your team needs you the most for that character. What people don't know about Nicky, and I don't want, I guess I'm saying to the media, so I'm going to out him here. He's tough. Nicky's sneaky tough. For not a big man, he can handle himself. So he didn't feel that he felt that he had been slighted on the first contact in that play and may have came over and offered an opportunity that wasn't taken up on. Appreciate the question.
Our next question is from Mike Kelly, NHL Network.
Hey, Coach. Adam Lowry, a big game. His line looked really good, especially the first period. Just your thoughts on the game
Mike,
that Adam Lowry
Mike,
had.
Mike, I'm sorry. I've got a biker gang going past the arena right now. Go ahead and fire that one again, please. Sorry. Oh, there's about seven motorcycles that just went by. I didn't hear a word you were saying. All right,
always
do it one more time.
By the motorcycles. All right.
Here we go.
Just wanted your thoughts on Adam Lowry, the game he had, especially first period, really good. The line was really good. And what he means to the team having the kind of performance he did.
So Adam wouldn't have liked game one, especially in the center circle when it came out. I don't know what he ended up, but he was 7-1 after a period, scoring the goal. Is he leading? Is he tied or leading the scheme team now? So he's, you know, it's those third and fourth line guys, those checkers, the grinders that will seem to always make the difference this time of year. He was huge, right? Our penalty kill got right. That was a big part of the win. He scores a big goal. He's a big, powerful man. I've been an Adam Lowry fan for a long time. Just the impact he can have. Like, you can hang two different wingers on his line, as I did tonight, and it doesn't affect what he can do. But big man going to the net. Showed some real nice hands on some plays tonight. But the penalty kill and the face-offs would be the two places that I thought he was dominant in the game.
Thank you.
We'll do one more from the media center before taking some Zoom questions. The next question comes from Ken Weeb, Sportsnet.
Paul, you touched on the penalty kill. It won't show up on the score sheet, but can you describe the impact Dylan DeMello had in this hockey game?
Not in a short answer. What Dylan did would have done tonight here would be prototypical of what we were looking for when we acquired him. Like, that's his game, right? A big bulk of what he does is he's in the right spots because he's so mentally sharp, and then it's his stick, knocking things down, finding the right play. He's not the fastest guy in the league, but his brain is, so he anticipates where he needs to be. And then we had a thing that we needed to do tonight, right? We needed to be on the puck in a certain way. We needed to knock some things down and get pucks stopped. So Dylan looked really to me the way he actually had as soon as we got him, right? He's that guy. He's very, very consistent. I think when we get on the power play, as much as we did in game one, he doesn't get into a rhythm. You don't get to see his value, but you certainly saw it tonight.
Okay, we're going to take some Zoom questions now. We have three Zoom questions in the queue. We'll start with Steven Wino, Associated Press.
Hey, Paul, just checking in on your injured guys. What's the update at all on Blake and, on Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine?
Mason Appleton would be like in that
Mason
group.
Mason Appleton as well. Yeah, those three guys. Were any of them close to playing? And kind of what's their prognosis?
I'll be kind today because we won. Because the first answer is they're not fit to play. Maybe I won't be kind. We'll see tomorrow. Sorry, you know it's. I'm not looking to give up an advantage on any part of this now in this series. So they didn't play today. We'll see how they come to the rink tomorrow. And if we ever meet Steve, I'll buy you dinner on that because that was a horseshit answer.
The next question comes from Brian Munns, TSN 1290.
Coach, talking about the three players that weren't in, for the players that did replace them in the lineup here today, obviously the Jansen Harkins story continues here with what he was able to do, but how about having those two other guys that have been around the league for a while be able to come in and have the impact they did?
So you're looking for a piece of the game, right? Gabe Bork just block shots, right? He'll just do anything to get in front of a shot. And Logan Shaw just speed up and down the wing, pucks to the net, driving the game. But it would all be all the things that the fans don't see that are a part of the NHL. part of being a team, the energy that they brought to practice yesterday, you know, they knew they were going in the lineup because we knew at that point that those three would be out. So they bring this energy to practice. They're chirping, they're barking, and they do the same thing on the bench tonight. There's so much more to this game than just some of the slick plays that these players can make, and that you talk about the grit of a group and the belief in a group. They were just like bang on, right? They brought the energy to the building tonight.
We'll do one more question from Zoom. It comes from Marat Atesh.
Hey, Paul, thanks for doing this. Just from covering practices, road trips, I've tripped over Jansen Harkins doing workouts in the hallway, seen him stay after practice, all this sort of stuff. And I'm wondering if you can share a little behind the scenes on what makes this guy so good, so playoff ready, so ready to step in on a night like tonight.
I just want to make sure I get this right so I'm not over-exaggerating, but I don't know that I've had a player that has been given less opportunity and stayed in the fight and competed as hard as this guy has. Like, he had no chance of making our team. He had a good camp. But he's not a first overall pick, so he doesn't have 10 guys pounding the table for him to give him that chance. So he's been given nothing here. But what he did was he forced an opportunity. So he went with the Moose, like there was no choice but to call him up, right? And then he gets in the lineup and he gets into practice. He works so hard, you just have to play him. So all he does is, no matter what the situation, he just catches your eye, right? He was clearly the first of the three in for us because of his training camp. That goal he scored, he may have scored that 10 times in the last 3 weeks. Really, he has. He's just, it's off his stick before you think it should, and it's barred out. So I think what you got with Hark is a guy that's going to get into the National Hockey League, and he's probably not going to come out for about 14 years. He's just, I think it was Kevin Dineen that said to me once early on, young players don't understand the value of an opportunity. But Jansen Harkins is the exception to that rule. He understands the value of opportunity. And he's earned that opportunity every time he steps the ice.